Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Amen. Father, we bless your holy name. We are thankful for grace and for mercy. We're thankful, Lord, O God, for your loving kindness. We're thankful, Lord, O God, that you are God in our lives. You're the God who turns all things around for your glory and honor. And this day, we surrender our lives to you. submitting ourselves to you so that we can resist the devil, and we know he must flee. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you this wonderful day. And may I say happy, blessed Mother's Day to all our mothers once again tonight. It was my full intention to continue on the message on that I started out this morning with about mothers. And in a sense, I'll still be touching on that. But this evening, I want us to learn something new. In the Gospel of John, the second chapter, the Bible tells us about Jesus, our Lord, at the marriage feast of Cana of Galilee. Remember that scenario? The Gospel of John 2. And in that particular passage of scripture, Jesus, our Lord, turned water into wine. And in the 11th verse, the Word of God says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. You've heard me talk about the fact that I had an interesting discussion with the Lord many years ago when he asked me, what was my first miracle in the New Testament? And I said, you turned water into wine. And he said, no. We went about that about three times, and I got my Bible and I read this verse to him. And he still said no. I was getting confused. How is it that I'm reading what it says in the Word here and you're saying no? I said, okay, what is it? And he said to me, my first miracle was breaking the backbone of lack. It didn't matter what they were lacking. If they were lacking bread, I would have turned water into bread. If they were lacking fish, I would have turned water into fish. My first miracle was the breaking of the backbone of lack. Well, I was excited about it and all of that, and until the Lord says to me, that was my first miracle, but that's what you read in John 1. That's not the first time I did miracles. I said, okay, now I'm getting really confused. You said, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. He said, yes. That's the first time I did it in Galilee, or rather in Cana of Galilee. That does not mean that was the first time I did miracles. Oh. So when was the first time? He said, I'm just stating in this passage, the reason I stated it out is for you to know that is what I am about. I did not state the others. So now, it throws everything off. At least that is what happens with the natural mind. But there are certain things that are crucial for us to understand. First, the first miracles took place with Jesus working hand in hand with servants, the diaconos or the deacons. And when we see in the New Testament, the first expansion of the move of God was not just what the apostles were doing, but with what was happening with the deacons, the servants, those who are willing to serve. Are we there so far? Okay. Now, so that you understand that John 2 is not the first of the miracles, let's go to Luke chapter 4. This is not for head knowledge. The first miracles happened in Cana of Galilee because Jesus' mother kept on pestering him. Whatever it is that you've done in other places, you've got to do here. You got to do something here. In fact, the word is a word for haranguing, really pestering him, going after him. I'm pulling it out. Just like the woman in Luke 18, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And God uses a woman to illustrate how you pull it out. And tonight I want to talk to us about how to pull the miracle out. Because sometimes God will play hide and seek with us. He wants to answer, but he wants you to really want it. Do you really want it? Do you really desire to get what you're asking for? Jesus, our Lord, the Bible tells us in Luke 8, it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He's filled with the Holy Spirit to the full. And he goes, he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And you and I know all the issue of the temptation and how he defeated the enemy by repeating over and over and over again, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. The Bible says in verse 13, it says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned, verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. So he's tempted, he's received the word, he's tempted of the devil, he returns back into the Galilee, and then it says, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Why was he famous? Because he was doing miracles. Are you with me so far? He says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah's. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the what? To the poor." Still consistent. God hates lack, poverty. And he says, "The Spirit of God is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he had sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Those whose hearts are broken, he sent me to bring healing to them, to preach deliverance to those who are held captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we'll come through all of that again. And he says, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." Did you get that? He says, whatever it is that you've done in Capernaum, we've been hearing. Do it here too. We want to see. They want to see what he's been doing everywhere else. But if you're this person, do it here. We want to see it. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." Basically, the reason you're not seeing it here is because prophets are not accepted in their own country. When I'm over there, miracles are happening over there. It's not happening here because, is this not Joseph's son? Is this not Joseph's son? Now you can understand why Jesus in Cana of Galilee says, "What business of mine is this? They don't believe in me here." Why are you disturbing me? And he's still asking the same question. Do you believe in me here? Why is it that people out there receive their miracles just like that? Why is it that you don't receive it in your own home, in your own house? Is this not Joseph's son? But the same power. The Bible says Jesus returned with power. The power is there. It was not absent. And Jesus was reading their hearts and saying, "Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Physician, heal thyself. I know what you're thinking. Whatever it is you've done in Capernaum, do it here also. But you are not asking me for it to be done here also, because you believe. You just like the devil. If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones and make them bread." That's your problem. And it's still the problem that faces us as the body of Christ. Not just simply doing like Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, "Whatever he says for you to do, do it." Because when you do it, you will experience the power of God. In reality, the grace of God is going to flow in you and through you, and you'll be empowered to experience life to the full. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. What was the difference in that woman's situation? The prophet sees her and says to her, "Give me water to drink." That was the precious. And she begins to go get the water, and the prophet of God says to her, "Actually, I need more than make me some food to eat." And she says, "I only have one little pot of flour and oil. And I was just about to eat what is left and between my son and I, and then we're ready to die." And the prophet says, "Do what you want to do." And she goes, decides that she's going to give her last meal to the prophet. What was that all about? It was an expression of love beyond herself. And that love beyond herself propelled her to try to serve the prophet of God, obeying whatever it is that he said. And all of a sudden, her pot of flour and oil did not stop. Are we together so far? God stepped in and turned a lack situation around. He's still doing the same thing. I don't know what you and I lack, but he's still God. He's still God. And all he's saying is, do whatever it is I ask you to do. Just do that. Don't question it. Just do it. And you're going to experience my power in a very real and tangible way. It goes on and says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save in Naaman the Syrian. What is the difference? Once again, Naaman the Syrian was a leper. And he comes to the prophet of God, to Elisha. And Elisha says to him, "Go wash yourself in the Jordan." What? I have the Abana and the Farfar, and you want me to go wash myself in the dirty Jordan? We've got better water where I am. But there was a young man, his servant, who came alongside of the man and said, "If he's asked you to do something even bigger, wouldn't you have done it? All he's asking you is to dip yourself inside the water 7 times. So Naaman goes into the water, dips himself 7 times, and comes out healed, delivered. He lacked health. His health was restored to him. But it happened because of obedience and the respect of the word of the man of God. There were many others, the Bible is telling us here, in Israel that were lepers, but none of them got cleansed but the one who obeyed the instruction. Are you and I carrying things around that are not getting resolved simply because we've not obeyed the instruction? He says, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Not repentant, they were angry. Is that exactly what also happens in church? The word of God comes, and it's exposing particular areas where we've got to deal with, and instead of repenting, we get upset, we get angry. Why is he saying that? What's that all about? They were not just filled with wrath. Remember, Jesus is filled with the Holy Ghost. These people are filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city. This is violence. They didn't just escort him. They thrust him. They're pushing him. Whatever it is that was wrong inside of them is now being revealed. They're pushing him, thrusting him out of the city, and led him onto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Where is this happening? It's happening in Nazareth. Where is Nazareth? The Bible is very clear. Where he was raised. This way he was brought up. They know him. I know you. I know your brother. I know your sisters. I know everything about you. How dare you think that you can be that important? God is using who? If God were to raise somebody in our midst and God starts using him or her, what do we say? I know him. I know when he started coming to this church. That's where he sits over there. How can God use him? How can God use her? How can God use them? We associate power with people that are over there. They are church members that will send their monies to some minister over there, but will not support their church. I know him. He's going to use our money to wear nice clothes. I'll send it over there. Do you know what that guy is doing with your money? Do you have any clue? When I was in the place where I just came from, the pastor showed me a guy. He said, you see that guy over there? I said, yeah. He said, that guy, some guy came from somewhere, from the States, I guess, and told him that he was buying him out from the slave owner. And he's so excited, the guy went and gave the slave owner $20. The guy is busy talking to everybody. I'm getting out of here. $20. The guy is still there. 2 years later, he's still there. Meanwhile, the guy has taken pictures already, and he's showing it to people wherever he is about what he's doing. Nothing. Crooked as crooked can come. You just lie. And people send money to them. I remember many years, close to two decades back, when PTL was going through its crisis, and then Jim Baker, that was, and then Jimmy Swaggart's situation started. There was this, I don't know where this guy comes from. He's sitting by his pool, drinking booze, alcohol, smoking cigar. And said, send your money over here. I'm going to use it for ministry. And people said, send money to that guy. The guy was not going to use it for anything. Just waste. Lies. And so many times, we support all kinds of things over here, over there. But what is right in front of you, you don't support it. You don't believe in it. And because you don't believe in it, you don't experience the power that is available, that brings healing and restoration to people in all kinds of settings. Now, whatever miracle you did there over there in that nation, do it here too. We want to see it. That's the language of unbelief. And Jesus could not do any great works. That we're talking about Jesus our Lord. He could not. Not that he would not. He didn't say he would not. He says he could not. Could not. Unbelief shuts down the capacity of God doing anything in our lives. They were ready to cast him down. They knew him, and how dare he come here and tell us anything. But whatever the agenda of the enemy was, it didn't stop what Jesus was going to be. The Bible says, but he passing through the midst of them went his way. This is the irony of it all. While they were busy pushing him, couldn't he have stopped it at that time? Why did he have to wait until they were right at the edge to say, okay. That's the incredible thing about God. Because you think you're getting away with something does not mean that you have the upper hand. God will be pushed around, talked about, lambasted, until he's ready to turn around. And then you're by yourself. Where did he go? Where did he go? Where did he go? God has never been powerless. He's never been powerless. And may I say something to us? The power of God is available in your home. The reason many times we do not see miracles in our own personal situation is because we don't believe that God's power can work through the person that you're sleeping on the same bed with. But the very moment you believe, God is in him, God is in her, deliverance takes place. I've told you the story about how many years ago I had become hardened in my heart because somebody spoke wrongly about me. And I made a decision, I'm not going to this, blah, 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 blah. I didn't know I was hurting myself until I couldn't feel God. I was still preaching. And that's the dangerous thing. That's the most dangerous thing, that you can, like Saul, be fired from being king over a nation, and 20 years later you're still sitting on the throne while the anointing is on somebody else who's supposed to be king, and that person is not yet sitting on the throne. That is a dangerous state. And I was in that state. I was still preaching, and it felt like the power of God was still there until one day, everything shut down. My deliverance did not come from over there, somewhere over there. Somewhere over the rainbow. No, it didn't come from somewhere over the rainbow. It came from my house. I told Mama, I said, I feel dead in here. And she was not even looking at me. She just touched me. As soon as she touched me, it broke. Pow! I was free. My deliverance came from my house. The prophet said, what's in your house? Your deliverance may be from that woman in your house, maybe from that man in your house, maybe from that child in your house. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to us? I'm saying we need to believe God and believe that God is working in us and through us and with us. Never discount the power of God and think it's going to come from over there. No, no. What does the Word of God say in Romans 10? It's an incredible statement found here in Romans 10, talking about salvation. I'm just going to see this for a quick moment. In from verse 4. The verse I want is down in 8. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, which is of the law, or rather, the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, this is what I want you to see here. It says the word that you need for salvation is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and it's in thy heart. The power of deliverance comes about because we come into agreement. Agreement with what? With the Word of God. The first miracle that happened in Cana of Galilee, the Bible says, and Mary was there, and then Jesus was called. It was an afterthought. And if you make God an afterthought, he's going to ask you, what business of this is mine? What are you asking me to come do here? You don't even believe in it. Are you ready for this? That's why he told them to fill those water pots and draw from those water pots and take it to the governor. It was like, I'm not going to let you mess up the miracle because I am engaged in it. Can you imagine Jesus going and praying over the water? Their unbelief will mess it up. So he separated himself from it. And got the servants, not even his disciples. Are you with me? He did not even get his disciples to be involved with it. He just separated themselves. And if unbelief is operational and God wants to do something, guess what he does? He uses outsiders to bring about the miracle, and you are outside of the participation. May God never go outside of me. If God is going to do anything, I want to be directly involved and engaged in it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I want to be involved. I don't want to be a stranger to what God is doing. The servants knew where the water came from. The governor did not know whence it came from. Because Jesus was not directly involved. He was involved, but from an aloof position. I don't want that kind of miracle where I'm not involved, where God just does things without me being part of it. I want to be engaged. What about you? Praise the Lord. I said today I want us to learn something. I hope I'm accomplishing that purpose, that you're learning something, that the miraculous cannot be manifested where you are if you don't have reverence for the God who can use his sons and his daughters and recognize that his power is in us and through us. I must respect the glory of God in your life and recognize that God can use you. Many years ago, we were having a conference here, a prayer conference. I had about 3 or 4 speakers here. And I remember coming to the service. It was the last service or second to the last. Yeah, I think it was the last service. And as I was coming, the Lord spoke to me. He said, today, I'm going to play quarterback. I said, what do you mean quarterback? He said, today, I'm going to throw the ball to whoever it is I want to throw the ball to. So I came, and sure enough, all of us, mighty men and women of God, anointed, We're going to be the ones that God is going to use today. He didn't throw the ball to any of us. He threw the ball to my daughter, Ashley. Do you remember this? And Ashley started laying hands on people over here. It was like it was out of order, but people started falling under the power of God. And we were busy standing up here on stage watching what God was doing. And after a while, people started running. They started running from this side all over there, getting in line as Ashley was touching them. And the power of God, pow, 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 pow. People were just dropping. God was, this quarterback thing that you just did. Stepped out of the way and did what he wanted to do. And I believe, are you hearing me? I believe that the move of God that is coming to the body of Christ is going to be so widespread that the devil is going to be confused because he doesn't know who God is going to use. This move of God is not about big names. It's going to be ordinary people, small congregations, large congregations, mid-sized congregations, people that you don't think God might use. God is using them. God is going to move by His Spirit and touch people that are Methodist and use them. Oh, it's going to be the Pentecostals, the word of faith. Don't push your buttons. God is going to use whoever it is He wants to use because He's going to shock the devil and mess him up, confuse the devil, because the devil won't know how God is going to do what He's going to do, but God is going to do what He's going to do. Amen? God is going to use men. He's going to use children. He's going to use women. In fact, the word of God says, a little one shall lead them. Did you hear what I just said? A little one shall lead them. So all of our doctorate degrees and apostle this, bishop this, prophet that, evangelist this, teacher this, doctor this, this stage is not going to be what's going to carry it. Because the devil could care less with you calling yourself an apostle. Huh? He could care less. There are apostles that have been dragged through the mud right now. Bishops, whatever, dragged through the mud, disgraced. Huh? And the devil thinks, I got the church. Oh yeah, I got the church defeated. Let's go for it. And God is busy laughing and saying, you don't know anything. Or one particular religion says, we're going to take over your countries. We're going to introduce our system. Within the next 20 years, it's over for you guys. How are you going to do it? We're going to give birth to many children. That's how we're going to change your country, change the culture. And the devil is such a liar because God is laughing and say, give birth to them, all of them. One word from God. And they're all going to get saved. You come in over here and you think you're going to take over? No, you come into the place where I want you and you won't get saved here. Hallelujah. You're going to get saved here. With all of your thinking, you're going to get saved. You're going to get set free. Because I love you, and all of your religious nonsense is not going to stop my power from working. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In a nutshell, what I'm saying is this: we've got what we need to accomplish everything we need to accomplish. We just need to have our eyes open and have a revelation of who Jesus is in the leaders that God has placed before us. See the might of the Most High God in the congregation that God has given to us. Because he doesn't save by mighty army and great chariots and horses. He can use those. But he's a God who saves to the utmost. And on this Mother's Day, I want you and I to recognize that God wants to use us. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. And the only way there is going to be a manifestation of that is when we have honor and respect and love for each other, rather than judging each other based on what we see in the natural. Why is it that the blind eyes see . Why is it that tumors disappear? Why is it that the cripple walk? Why is it that the deaf hear just from the preaching of the word? But at home, you got to have a big pot of oil and pour it over people and grease them up, and then nothing happens. That's exactly what happened with Jesus. Nothing happened. He could not. And understand, are you ready for this? Jesus said that the miracles that happened were because of what he saw the Father doing. So in essence, before he ministered to anybody, he saw the Father doing it. The will of God in heaven was already done, and he was trying to activate it in the lives of the people, and it didn't work. But it was not that it was not already done. Can we stop God with our unbelief and by our attitudes? Absolutely. That's what the Bible says. So we need to do what Jesus caused Mary and Martha to do. When it came to the graveside of Lazarus, he said, "Roll away the stone. Roll it off." Then he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Until the stone is rolled away, Lazarus will still be there. So my prayer tonight, for me, for you, your prayer for yourself and for me is simple. I want it on the screen. Lord, help me to roll away the stone of unbelief and apathy, liturgy, familiarity, We know him as Joseph's son. No, I want that stone rolled off. So that the word of the Lord can break through. Are we okay with that? Rise with me and cry out to the Lord. Liturgy is spelled differently. Hallelujah. Add familiarity in there. Cry out to the Lord. His God wants to do great things in us and with us. There are certain things that slow down what God wants done. Heavenly Father, help us to roll off, roll away the stones of unbelief, apathy, familiarity, liturgy. The stone that causes us not to connect out of a pure heart into the totality of who you are and what you want to do in this last of the last days. We're asking, O God, for a mighty move, O God, in our lives, that we'll see the demonstration of your power and that your glory be made manifest. Your word says your fame went abroad. So, Lord, let it be unto us according to your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. A mighty move, O God, by the Spirit of truth. It causes, O God, men and women to be released from the lies and the deceptions of the evil one. Lord, help us, O God, not to associate ourselves in our minds with the things of the natural that lie, consistently lie, and tell us that nothing is happening and nothing will happen. But Lord, oh God, may we be so connected to you that we have an awareness to know when to turn around and walk through the mist of the crowd that are trying to push us off the cliff, because we've declared the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Father, let your Spirit be so strong upon us that we see the manifestation of your will and your word in this last of the last days. You are altogether God, and there's none like you. Thank you, Lord, for your saving grace. Help us, O God, to understand today and at all times that you are in us, you are with us, operating through us in your manifested glory. Thank you, Lord, that it is so done, for we live our lives to worship you, to honor you, to glorify you, and to testify at all times that, O God, our God, you are a good, good God. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers. We celebrate every one of them. Thank you, Lord, for their legacy, the legacy of those that have gone home, the legacy that has been established by those that are here with us now, and the history and legacy of those that are going to be mothers in the days to come. We honor you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we celebrate the gift that you've given to us in our mothers, in our wives. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. This time let us honor God with our giving. The God we serve is faithful. He will speak over our seed sown and cause our seed to be greatly multiplied. When it comes to our giving, nobody can tell you what to give. You have to make up your mind to know what it is that you want to do. And do it in faith. And when you honor God in faith, He will honor you because He finds you faithful. And He will continue to increase you. In all my years of ministry, I've found this to be true. Those who give, keep on giving and keep on increasing. And things happen with them and for them. And those who don't, stay stagnant. Whatever steps they take, that seems to be leading them forward. Something hits them, and they go many steps backwards. And so, like a hamster, they're still in the same spot. But God's design is to multiply our seed sown and enlarge our coast, because He can trust us. Amen. May God trust you and may God bless you. I look forward to having you on Wednesday for Bible study. We're going through the book of Proverbs presently, and on Friday, prayer meeting, and then on Sunday will be Pentecost Sunday. The Lord did not instruct me to have a special week or days of meetings. So I'm not going to do anything based on some kind of tradition. I rather let the Lord give guidance and leadership on everything that we do, so that we are not doing anything outside of what He has commissioned us to do. That's not to say that God will forbid or be upset with us if we had more than one day of meetings. Of course not. But I'm training myself to be certain that I am only doing what God has asked me to do. Amen? We all grow together. Praise the Lord. So when I call for a meeting, you know, okay, that's what God is calling for. And He's going to meet you and I during those meetings. So Sunday morning, Pentecost service, and the evening, we'll continue with that. Amen? All right. Well, that's all I have to share right now, other than the last Sunday of this month. Be reminded that it's Mission Sunday. That's when we give twice. You know, you give your regular tithe and offerings, but you give some more for missions. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. May God's peace garrison your heart. And may you know fullness of life in every area. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Amen. We'll turn off from those that are on Facebook and YouTube. there's anyone on Zoom, we'll say hello to them. All right.